There was the ledge of quietness. Just like that. Am I on? I didn't get to shake Kylie. Sorry, I didn't get back to shake your hand. All right. I'll be really coming a little bit from an overflow situation. So I'm inside, a lot going on in the prayer meeting this morning, just kind of prayed about things. Paulo obviously was here last week for anyone who missed it. You guys can catch that. I'll say this. He preached on four things for the most part, but I'll just give those to you real quick. Community develops us. Identity establishes us. Corrector or correction supports us. And then mission protects us. I really felt strongly about talking about identity this week. For those of you who get flock note, a little weird that I had to, Lord wanted me to put that out this morning. Becky, I will back up just a second and let you know that within the last week, and I won't say who, but I had someone who's somewhat a prophetic voice in my life called me and said, since last September, the Lord has had Acts chapter 12 on their heart for me, and that I was to go study it until I got something out of it. Well, Acts chapter 12 is the other chapter of the jail time and the church praying. It's where Peter gets out of jail miraculously and goes and finds the church praying. So when you're sharing that this morning, I'm like, and so much times the Lord gives you or me something or anyone else, but a lot of times that's for the body of Christ. So there is something about the church praying, and I'm going to bring that up with Paulo here in a little bit. So we're going to talk about identity, as I said, in the thing. But before we do that, come on up. Come on up, Becky.
Just so everybody knows, Nick's getting baptized after
this. Yes. You're wonderful.
I was hoping he was talking about Becky. Yeah.
So, funny story. It's not funny. It's just Holy Spirit. So, Linda, where's Linda? So, Linda started, like, I don't know, Thursday or so, and she texted me or said something in person. She said, hey, just so you know, if you want somebody else to do call to worship, and she threw out four or five names, and Becky was one of the names. Well, she wasn't trying to get out of it. She was simply saying, hey, you won't offend me if the Lord ever leads you to have somebody else do that. First thing to my mind was you. Like, almost immediately, I was like, yes, you're supposed to do call to worship. So I texted David within a few minutes, said, hey, talk to your wife and see if she's willing to do that. Well, that night, I show up at Delana's basketball game, and you walk in, and all of a sudden, Holy Spirit's like, that Becky. And I'm like, well, I already screwed up because I already asked that Becky.
What's Holy Spirit were you talking to?
Well, I don't know. That's a good point. And so I didn't know what to do that night, and it was really heavy on me. So I went home, and then all of a sudden, the Lord started to download about
Identity. Don't start it.
I'm
doing good.
And so this is what your part is.
Okay.
So you,
I was thinking,
you get to,
when you just text me yesterday.
Yes.
That you had gave the wrong person the message that was supposed to go to her. I swear to God, I thought he messed up.
So it's the Becky show this morning. Becky,
so
is
anyway,
Becky is
I go, was thinking,
you're going to share test because I'm not going to stand here with you. I'm going to sit down.
How about if I sit down and you stand there? I think it would be better. It's not
you're just
2 minutes, right?
Two minutes. I want you to share a testimony about what God's doing in your life. It doesn't have to relate to identity or
well,
like
I kind of kept that in my mind.
10-4.
Because
you're up.
4 years ago, I was a wife and a mother. Now I'm a widow and a mother. But coming here to this church has helped me grow with God more than anything in my life. I've learned more. I've met all of you. I consider you all family. Brothers, got a lot of them now. And that's just helped me and my daughter. And she rocks my world. She does. She walks with God. And all you guys, what Becky said, they are so alive. And they just need to keep growing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's what I thought. Because I thought, Nick, you got to be crazy. You don't want me up here.
I do.
But
amen.
I have grown. So,
thank you for
brother.
Doing that. And you're not going to have to baptize me now.
Yes, I am. So. Joe said he'd break a hole for me.
I did.
Turn over to Philippians. It's it's routine every couple months that Becky will text me something and something about service or that's a good point. This Becky. And so it, to me, not to put pressure or take away from anything else, watching the Lord work in you guys is just what an image of coming through some valley stuff, coming through some, frankly, just some sucky stuff, but the Lord working in you and giving you the confidence and the rest and the position and shifting your identity into Him is really cool. So thank you for jumping up here. A couple more times like that and you'll be preaching a message. What is that 5-second delay they do on people where we have to make sure that there's... Let me read you what...
Let me know a month or two before, but not...
Yes, I will.
Still going to baptize you.
You guys over in Philippians chapter 2. Let me get started here. This identity thing is strong enough in me that I would... And Paul, of course, talked about this last week. In terms of community develops us and identity establishes us, that was strong enough in me when he said that the Lord has been working on me. For me, I will simply say this. I think it's very much 2025 type of puzzle piece. I think, what does that mean? We're going to talk quite a bit about what identity means and what it doesn't mean. And as my text or my flock note put out, we're going to end up looking at the spies and how identity affected that. So 2 to 3 years, we've kind of been working on community, tinkering around with identity and so forth and so on. If you remember last week, Paulo said there was a moment where he went to, I think it was Brazil with mom and dad, and they basically said, clear your schedule for 7 days. We're going to teach you every single day for 7 days about identity. Well, sitting there listening to that, I was struck both in terms of, wow, remembering that, but also realized potentially in myself, and this would go for family, how much we've taken for granted what we walk in identity and did not realize what a special thing that was. Because what Paulo got in 7 days, I just lived in. I lived with mom stuffing scriptures down my throat. I lived with dad, and you guys have heard the Oreo story that Chris always talks about, right? Where it's just, it was overwhelming to us, but the Lord really tapped on me and said, hey, identity is really, really key. And then Paulo spent 2 or 3 days with us. And so I really do think that identity, and again, I'll unwrap that. That's a really, it's a really generic term, but we'll try to unravel that just a little bit here as we get through this. But I'm going to tell a quick story about how we ended up here, and then I'm going to read a text from Paulo that literally came in at 9 o'clock this morning, and then we'll jump into some more scripture. I want to say this. I sent you guys all out information about what I was preaching on. Did anyone take more than like 30 seconds to look at it? Don't raise your hand if you didn't. Gabe is shaking his head no, because he was at basketball games all yesterday. If you did, or if you, because you come in, what I'm really looking for is if there's something inside of your spirit that connects with what I'm saying, please just give me a wave, because I really do want to stop and hear what maybe Holy Spirit gave you guys as we walk this out, okay? Sunday was, Paula was here preaching. We had a family get together on Sunday night, just watched some ball games, the football games, and then Monday night we had a ministry night. Well, during that, what we would call ministry night, I won't go into all that, but it's just a time where Paula, whoever's here, will share and we'll share. It's kind of a discussion type format, and usually somewhere in there we'll pray or just talk through. At the end, we were praying. There was 60, 70, maybe it wasn't that many, 50, 60 of the family was around. We were praying over Paulo and the family. And in particular, I think it was Christina. I'm sure it was Christina. Christina had a word of the Lord, which is not uncommon in our family setting. There'll be lots of flow and going on, but Christina had a word of something like this. If somebody remembers it a little more distinct, please add to it. But I think she said something like, Paulo, I hear the Lord saying He's going to give you a new name. And that she started to talk about name a little bit. I don't think she went on and on, but it was something about a name. And Paulo stopped because typically in a prayer meeting, we just kind of keep flowing. But he stopped and talked to us for a second, said, it's interesting. He looked at Christine and said, thank you for that. That's very interesting. Immediately, he went back and said, your dad started to talk to me years ago about names and what names meant, and that God a lot of times, and Paulo was saying in person, he was saying, your dad taught me that sometimes in transition periods, God will come along and institute a new name in order to identify a transition period, right? And so he said that to us, and that was really heavy, that something struck us. The family kind of stopped, and we moved along maybe another 15, 20 minutes, and then that thing came back up, and then we decided we needed to do something about that, right? And Paulo came to me afterwards and said, we need to talk about what that looks like. Well, I want to read something to you, which is going to connect back to what you said, Becky. This was a note from Paulo this morning, and I texted him back, and he gave me permission to read this here in this service. He says, my dear brother, thinking and listening to the Holy Spirit these days, I need to say that being with you is always a great refreshment in our souls, even with a tight schedule, trying to do a lot in a short time. It's as if the frequency of the place and the people does not allow us to feel like we're rushing, but rather that we are slowed down and enjoying. I am confident that God set this agenda and connected us once again with you and for a great purpose. Gradually, I see the Lord releasing upon us what He Himself has already stored in His heart for our lives. There is a lot to understand and discern, and I know that this must always be the path, listening to the Holy Spirit, because only then will we do the right thing at the right time. We need to consider how we will stand before Him. Now, he's shifted here to a conversation about what are we going to do about this name thing and what the Lord might be trying to do. Because in the family, once Christina said that, Paulo quickly turned and said, that's not just for me, that's representative of not only this family, but the body of Christ here and what we're doing in Brazil. Like, there's a shifting coming. And so Paulo says this. He says, we need to consider how we will stand before Him to hear Him. Fasting and prayer? Question mark. I had a thought about starting a time of seeking for His heart on March 11th and ending it on Easter, April 20th. This will complete 40 days. This is the 40 days right here. So I've been thinking I'm supposed to do something 40 days. I'm not laying this on you. I'm submitting this to you. I will be participating in this. I told the kids not too long ago, something with 40 days is coming up for me. I know that each person has a fasting rhythm, so it doesn't have to be something radical. Gabe, he said you don't have to fast because he knows you just came off 21 days. I believe, though, that it's really important that we will be daily focused on prayer, individual Bible reading, and devotional. Share with whoever is necessary and tell me what you think about it later. We can choose a book to study together during this time. These are ideas to take practical steps what we feel God is calling us to do. Jesus was successful in His mission because He obeyed the Father's will, and we can only obey if we hear and know His will. I'm just excited because in all the fasting I did for 40 days, the Lord revealed so much to me and gave me spiritual nutrition for many years. Just a couple, 30 more seconds here. Some things burn in my heart. God is moving globally and is preparing His church, His people to advance as church on earth. He is refining us, aligning us, and adjusting us, and preparing us to glorify Him even more. He is pointing out to us the importance of returning to family and building the church from that foundation, developing children into healthy adults, generating disciples of Jesus prepared to serve Him with integrity. This has been Jesus' central mission from the beginning, and I believe that in our time and in our generation, He is counting on us to continue His legacy and pass the baton to the next generation. Can we prepare our kids to be disciples of Jesus in the coming era? Question mark. Do we have the message He entrusted us to share formatted to the point of passing it to them so that they can share it with others? Question mark. There are many, many thoughts that I have, and I know that discerning as a team in the multiform wisdom of God is better and safer. I love you, and I'm here praying for you all. May the Lord find us faithful. Your brother and servant, Paulo. again, I felt like that was a little bit of wrap-up. I think this morning's a wrap-up. There's some confirmation already. Paulo is absolutely the next generation and some things that the Lord is doing. With that said, I'm submitting that to you. I am going to join Paulo. I haven't even presented to my family. I just literally got that text this morning at 9 o'clock. You guys are welcome to do that. I also intend probably from now until March 11th to just pray about whether we should, what does that look like, right? Do we have the church open for some prayer? Do we do some whiteboards? Do we talk about? Do we have some intentional meetings looking for what are we, who are we, what does 2025 look like for our church? Amen? Okay, moving on to the actual sermon. Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than ointment. I think there was another word in there. But a good name is better than ointment. Proverbs 22 says a good name is better than riches. Essentially better to have than gold and silver. So if you have to choose a good name or wealth, choose the good name. Philippians chapter 2, you guys should be there. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Now, we're talking about names here. We're talking about what identity does to a name and what a name does to identity. Jesus received a name from the Father that was above all. Moving on then to that next verse, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The rest of the sermon is going to be about two things. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time making sure that you see scriptures that emphasize that Jesus has the highest name that's ever been given in creation, from the beginning to the end. He's got a name that's above every name. That scripture just told us that. Okay? The second point is going to be that you have inherited that name. Now, for most of you, that is an abstract costume that you wear at 10:30 on Sundays. And when you leave here, what you really are is something else. That sounds really great at church. Yes, I am, the name of Jesus is powerful, and the name of Jesus is above every name, but when you go out that back door, that's not actually the identity that you're walking out. The identity you're walking out is some mixture of stuff, right? And so what I want to do is just point out that there tends to be a difference in the revelation of what the name of Jesus means and where we live. So then if 2025 is about identity, then the idea would be let's bring those together, right? Let's bring us up. Let's not bring Jesus to our level. But sometimes we actually have to get to the place at our level to figure out who we are in order to move in that direction, and we'll see some scripture on that. Okay, so everything that we read from here on out, just keep in your mind that Jesus has a great name and that we want to work through how does that affect identity. Flip over, if you will, to, I need to find it here, sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at that, I am already halfway through my notes. That's really good for you guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, name changes while you guys are getting there. Abraham got his name changed from Abram. Sarah got her name changed from, actually I don't remember this one, was it Sarai to Sarah? Kind of the same A-H, Abraham, Sarah. Jacob got his name changed to what? Israel. That's Old Testament, that's as far as I'm going to go there. Name changes are pretty cool. I was thinking when I wrote the note, I may dig into that. I'm not. The Lord directed me a little bit differently. Come into the New Testament. I like the one I put on there is John the Baptist. I love that story in terms of the context here, because God just stopped that one from ever happening wrong, because he was going to have to change his name if his mom and dad got to name him, right? Because he was supposed to be named Zacharias. Actually, the Bible says that they were going to name him that, and God said no, and his dad wrote down John, and everybody went crazy, and his dad got to talk, right? So God picked that guy's name. Peter got his name changed, did it? Yeah, it was Simon, got changed to Peter. Now, I'm going to show you a little shamefulness. How many of you think that Paul got his name changed? I did. There's no scriptural evidence that actually I didn't know that. You could have won some money from me on that. I thought that he got his name changed from Saul to Paul on the road to Damascus. No scriptural support of that at all whatsoever. So, 52, and I didn't know that little simple piece. There you go. But here's the one we're going to look at. Where's Miss Linda? 1994, August 27th. It's pretty good, isn't it? I didn't even look that up. I actually remember that. What is that? My wife took my name. She had a name change that day. A couple points about that. First of all, she took the name that day, but she didn't become a pranger overnight. Name changes and identity things are a progress. When we're talking about kingdom stuff, sometimes we just get in the mindset, well, I accept Jesus and everything's different tomorrow. Not so much. There's a process of that, and a couple different processes. So Linda married me, took my name, that day became Linda Pranger. In all reality, she didn't marry Gabe, thank God, right? So Linda says, amen. So she didn't necessarily take on Gabe Pranger, she didn't take on Joe Pranger, she didn't become necessarily like my mom, Ann Pranger. She took on me. Right? She married me. She took on my identity, and consequently, because of that, her respect and honor of me, it was very easy for me to take on the Roos identity, which then I carried right over and became part of her family. She became part of my family. And in all reality, it's Pranger, Eversman, Roos, and Price that together. And so now we have our own identity, which is Nick and Linda. And it's way different than Chris, and Gabe and Mindy, and Chad and Beth, thank God, and where's the Days kids at? Yes. So I thought I said that just for you. So there's an identity there in marriage that you can see begins to not just become a name. This is the key. It's not just the name. It actually moves from this abstract idea into actually practically behavior change, walking it out. And that's what we're looking for in this thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here we go. You guys there? Back to Philippians chapter 2. Jesus has a name. Find yourself in these scriptures. I'm kind of repeating some things that I'm hearkening back to my mom and dad who sat in the living room with me. These are the basic, absolute, fundamental scriptures that I heard countless times, that I have taken for granted over the years, that I'm bringing back to the surface and will be working through identity. Find yourself in these scriptures as it relates to the man who has the highest name in the universe. Okay? Here we go. Therefore, if any man... Oh, wait a second. Who? Any of you. Does that mean all of you and me? Yep. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It can't get any more universal than that right there. So I opened up with that scripture. That covers everything. Now again, we'll put some more substance to this. If you are in Christ Jesus, everything in you has become new. All of the old garbage is passed away. Well, that's simply saying we're not really going toward an identity for us then. In all reality, my identity is dying, and I am taking on his identity, which will have a big impact here later on as it actually affects behavior. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Know this, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who didn't know any sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Therein is this abstract thought that we walk into here and say, I am, in front of all of you, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen, right? But what am I when I get in the car? Right? What am I on Monday? I'm still the righteousness of Jesus Christ by name only. Sometimes. This is the part of going back to marriage. Day two, Linda was Linda Pranger, but she really wasn't maybe Linda Pranger because she didn't even know what that meant. Right? So she had to walk that out. So the reality of the identity as a name flowing down to the place that we just subconsciously, like I maybe did last week, don't even realize where I'm at, that this scripture is, I am God's righteousness. Now, that scripture, real quick, that's just a swap of identities. That's all it is. That's just a swap. You're a bum. Gabe, Mindy, why are you saying he's not a bum? He is too a bum. You got to swap that identity with Jesus. There was an absolute identity swap from Jesus in that verse. Go over to Romans chapter 6. David, I know. That's what David does. I appreciate it, David. Keep him from crying himself to sleep. Romans 6, verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we sin? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not? Pay attention. Don't you know this? That so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were actually baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so are we raised up and should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wrote down four things that came out of there for me. As I read that and what that scripture says to me, these three things are true for me. Nick Pranger was on that cross. Nick Pranger was on that cross in Jesus. That's what that scripture says. He went there with me in him because it was my sin that put him there. He didn't belong there. I was on that cross with him. Second statement, I went to hell with him because he didn't deserve to go to hell. So I was with him there. I then, as a result of that, received God's wrath for my sin. This is identity. This is identity. Third thing, I was raised from the dead with him. When the stone rolled away and he came out, I was in him. I was there. identity. I was there. Fourth thing, according to Ephesians, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. And the enemies that are under his feet are under my feet. How abstract are those thoughts? Severely abstract to most Christians sitting in church pews today. Somewhat abstract to me. I just was by grace so crazily downloaded for so many years that these things were just plaques in our life and from mom and dad everywhere. I was on that cross. I was in hell. I was raised, and I'm seated in heavenly places right now. How in the world does that work? I don't know, but that's actually where my identity is rooted, in those things. Now, this will play out as we keep going. Romans 8, you're right there. Just flip over to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffered with Him, that we may be also glorified together with Him. Identity. I'll say something real quick off the point. That scripture says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. There's some teaching needs to happen here. I'm not going to do it today. My spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit. So I have to be careful because there's another scripture there that says, I think the spirit of bondage. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage. Spirit of bondage, spirit capital S, and my spirit. So, yes?
Identity would be like identifying. Like
correct.
Mm-hmm. You could look and go, I identify the identity. So just give us some context to what you're saying. And then Jesus came to reveal God as Father.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anybody else want to add to Gabe's, piggyback on there? Okay. Thanks for that. Know that what comes out of our spirit, there still has to be that mechanism of, is that Holy Spirit with my spirit or is that different spirit? So there's some stuff there that has to go, but suffice it to say that the joint heir piece is what I'm looking at. It's the identity. Because I was on the cross, I went to hell, I was raised, I'm seated in heavenly places. That's good, and that's a high level, but joint heir takes it to a new level. Like joint heir, not just joint heir with Christ, there's other scriptures, joint heir with God. Like, that's actually almost like, you mean partnership? Like, joint heir with God? Like, that's a whole identity thing. Again, understanding this will play out as we move forward. Finally, let's go to Galatians before I have my wrap-up scripture. I need to show you something on this board real quick. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Stay with me. I'll explain this in just a second. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say then, that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, final verse here, at least in this section, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, than an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Quickly jump right down to verse 28. Now we, brethren, same chapter, just verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, it's the same now. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not be heir with the son of the free women. So then, brethren, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in this liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with this yoke, I think it said. I'm going to be like Gabe. How do you spell identity? Identity. Identity of the cross. Holy Spirit had me go up to mom and dad's units. I got a bunch of stuff up there. I was looking for something. I came across this. I remembered this from a long time ago. Dad had drawn this, and I grabbed it and added a bunch of stuff to it. But so I'm not taking this. This was something Dad did, but I remembered it from literally like 25 years ago. Identity of the cross. So here's the cross in the middle. Let's do this. Let's say Adam number one. Adam number two. Who's Adam number one? Adam. Good. Eve's husband. Good one. Who's Adam number two? Jesus. It's the Sunday school answer. Jesus. Adam number one. Adam number one, before the cross, male, female, Jew, Gentile, bond, free. Up to the cross, this is Adam number one, okay? Now, I've got too much to share about this side, but let's say this. This side of the cross is carnal, sin, death. Okay? This side of the cross, we'll get to in just a second, is spiritual. What's my righteousness? That's righteousness, shorthand for righteousness. And life. Thank you, Gabe. Law and grace. Hey, what'd you say?
David said law.
Yeah, yeah. Grace. This law over here?
Law.
Yeah. Law, grace. Okay, law, 1 + 1 = 2. That feels good, don't it? It's logical. 1 + 1 = 2, right? Grace, 1 + 1 = righteousness somehow. It equals these things. Right? It makes no sense. It's not calculable on the grace side.
But we all fail it.
Yeah, we do. This is the struggle. I'll show you here in just a second. I'll give you real quick, I don't know where I'll do it here, four stages of identity that I kind of threw in here this morning. Slave, that the scriptures, we're not going to take the time to look at them, but slave, servant, child, joint heir. Some of you in the back can't see that. Four stages of identity. Slave, servant, child, joint heir. I could go in there and show you that actually is what the scripture says. It lays that out across Paul's teachings. Okay. Pre-cross, there are no there's no children of God pre-cross, okay? This side of the cross, slaves and servants. This side of the cross is supposed to be childs under tutors and governors on their way to join heirs with God seated in heavenly places. If it only worked that easy, then the church would be mighty today. The church is stuck right here between this, and we'll look at this in just a second. slave, servant, child, joint heir. These are, I'll say it like this. This, 1 + 1 = 2, never gets you to be a joint heir.
Can I say something?
Yes.
The law died, so law cannot pursue you past death.
Yes.
Law cannot pursue somebody past death.
Yeah, because if you're dead,
broke the law and they die, you don't dig them up and get them in court and take their
correct
body. They're no longer. So at the cross, the law can't go. It can't reach on the other side. It can't get past it.
That spiritual truth is absolutely there. But while we are, this is why Paul said, I have to actually crucify myself daily. Right? Because even though that is technically the spiritual law in which God lives by,
we have to identify that we're dead.
Correct. Yes, correct. Now, here's what happens if we don't. Okay? And man, I gotta hurry. This is so attractive. I mean, dear Lord, that is so attractive. Just do this and it equals this. Here's the danger. Paul spends a lot of time telling us what this was meant to do. What was the law meant to do? Remind us of what? Yes, but let's put it a little more aggressively. That we're dirtbags. The law is to remind us, huh? It's a mirror. This is a, yes, okay, so this becomes a mirror to me. And every time I go to work it may feel like it's working out, but it eventually only leads me back to death. So this thing that the devil traps us in doesn't ever get us here. It just keeps putting us back down to here.
I have one more thing.
Over and over and over and over. It's good. No.
I heard something this week. It's awesome. The law is like a mirror that shows you what you are. It has no ability. It would be like
correct
taking the law and trying to wash yourself with the mirror.
Yeah, it has no ability to actually fix it.
Clean up what's wrong in the image with the mirror.
In fact, God said through Paul, its point is to simply make you this. That's its purpose. That's why it came into existence. So, and you went all the way to chapter 4 and decided to stop early in Romans a couple weeks ago. So you can pick this up. You can pick this up at your next sermon. All right. Okay. I'm off track, but it's okay. No. I'm not. I'm actually. What's that? I tried to do this all off my. Excuse me. Let's go back to the work we have to do this year. The abstract costume that we wear on Sundays is somewhere over here. Oh yes, I'm a joint heir with Christ, I'm a child of God, and we all say that. When we get back in the truck and the costume comes off, a lot of us are somewhere over here. Okay? A lot of us are like just lost. Right? Don't know what that looks like. Well, the problem is with over here is you just try to work at this. What did that scripture say? Go look at 4:1. Okay? Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, the joint heir, as long as he is a child, needs what? What's the scripture say? He needs tutors and governors to help him. Well, we are all this. And the body of Christ isn't doing a good job helping each other. This is part of what you were saying when you actually started, right? How do we help each other? This is what Paulo was saying. We cannot come into our identity unless we go back into community. And community can't get our identity until we go back into it. It all's tied together because we can't get from here to here without community, but it's tricky. We can get past this line with, well, I'm not sure. It's all the same. It's all the same process, tutors and governors. The trick is the child goes back and forth right here, and we're going to look at that here. Oh, land sakes. Go over to Numbers chapter 13.
Nick,
yes?
What is the ultimate tutor that we can have as a child?
Well, I would think the term would be Father, but I'm willing to submit
the
that.
Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Spirit is the ultimate
too. Amen.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
No. I'm agreeing.
Body, there's a reason for the church.
100%.
But if the church body is following the Holy Spirit,
correct.
They're going to raise the child.
Correct.
The child understands Holy Spirit.
Correct.
He's going to guide.
Correct. It's like it's all knitted together, and at the highest level, to your point, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul says it like this: I can plant a seed, and I can water it, and I can harvest it, but guess what? I can't do. I can't make it grow, right? I can't actually force any of that change, right? I can talk to everybody, and mom and dad can talk to me, but I can't make that change. Only the Father can get the crop to grow. But yet, we'd be foolish to think that, so that somehow we're not involved in His vessels of actually sharing and working, being the tutor and governor. The Scripture is clear that we need to have tutors and governors, but if those tutors and governors aren't submitted to Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, then this is gifts of the Spirit, all kinds of stuff that's like, We wouldn't leave till 6 o'clock tonight, David, if you and I started. It was good stuff, though. Thank you for bringing it up. You're absolutely right, though. It doesn't. You're right. Just coming and having some community get together isn't going to serve. The power within this is not natural. It's the supernatural power in here that changes this slave into a joint heir. Yeah. Yeah.
You will know as you have fully been known, kind of.
Yeah.
This knowing, I want to know you. But it's the intimate pause. I want to know you. It was talking about a relationship, sexual relationship of intimacy.
Correct. My dad would say it went from this head knowledge,
yes,
and it just dropped into this, I know and I'll fight you to death over it now, right? And what's the difference there? Major difference, right? And it's exactly what you were coining a different phrase. Yeah.
Where the color red is red because you were taught that was red. You can't change your mind. Somebody said, that's blue. It's red. You know it's red. It is substantiated in your mind. And when we substantiate the identity of the cross in our mind, we know who we are.
Yeah.
But without forgiveness, you can't cross that.
Yeah. This is like a rapid, fast-paced, mock-speed discussion on identity that is like 30 years of teaching. Like when Paul is standing up here, I went up and found this. This is probably what he got. This is sessions 1 through 6 of New England. This has got my dad's fingerprints all over it. But that alone, just that little book, is probably 7 days, 8 hours a day, and you're still not even touching this, right? This identity, because the abstract thought process that I was there, I was in hell, I was raised from the dead, and I'm seated in heavenly places was never going to make sense to my brain. It's always going to be at this knowledge level, and then it has to drop to revelation somewhere along the way. Okay, focus here. Are you guys in Numbers? Real quick. Well, kind of real quick. Give me 10 minutes. Numbers 13. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Don't forget that. Don't forget that statement. God said, I'm giving that land to them. Right? Told Moses, I'm giving it to you. That's already the word of the Lord in that particular moment. Of every tribe and fathers you send, blah, blah, blah. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All these men were heads of the children of Israel, and all these were their names. I'm going to skim read here. Four. Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin. I'm in verse 10. Zebulun, Joseph, Manasseh, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, and Gad. Verse 16. I'm guessing that had to be 12 tribes. I don't know. Somebody needs to go back and count. But these are the names of the men of Moses. Jump over to verse 25. So Moses sends these 12 guys out, all heads of the tribe of Israel, and he says, go search the land that God said that he's already given to us. Verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. I didn't put those two things together. That's interesting. There's another 40. Always pay attention to 40s. Okay?
Also, the man that was crippled that I read about was 40 years
No kidding. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. There's 12 guys unto the wilderness of Paran and all the congregation. And they showed them the fruit of the land, which were big grapes. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. Can you hear it? All of this problem. Dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Just so you know, Caleb is from the tribe of Judah. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we gone to search it, it is a land eateth that's eaten up with inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were great men of stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were as grasshoppers in their sight. But they didn't talk to any of them. That's just what they were projecting they were. Keep on reading, verse 14, and I'll wrap up here. And all of the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night because of their report. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, let us go ahead and make a captain and get back over to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, who is from Ephraim's camp, and Caleb from Judah, searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. Land which floweth with milk and honey, only rebel not against the Lord. And then verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them. Okay, look here, and I'm going to wrap up. 10. Now, let me ask you a question. There was 12 of them. 1 month before this, what were those 12? What were they? No? Say it louder. 1 month before this, these 12 just exited 300 years of slavery. The mindset had set in. I'm really not mad at those 10 guys. I get it. It was a miracle of God to even get two of them out of 300 years of slavery. That's all they knew. The wilderness was worse than slavery. There's a comfort in slavery. I don't have time to go into all of the characteristics of why it would be more comfortable to go back to Egypt, but in fact, it probably would be more comfortable to go back to Egypt than to go do what these guys thought they were going to have to do. And so it is today. To just stay in the routine, to just stay where it's comfortable, and not be intentional, not push us out. This is what Paulo came and kicked me in the butt, and will continue to kick me in the butt, and we're kicking him in the butt, and the whole body of Christ, the Holy Spirit's kicking in the butt, and going, I understand. This is not impossible. Let's get these guys to come across. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just these two saw something different. Their identity, these two somehow, miraculously, were joint heirs with God that day. Because they said, God said he's going to give us. And somehow, that factored into, at the end of the day, they still spent another 80 years, and they were faithful, and they still carried their families, and they still helped the next generation get across.
Caleb had the strength of his youth.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, let's be clear here. God didn't kill them, right? I get it. This is difficult. 300 years of not knowing anything different is difficult. There's generations in those 300 years that went to prayer meeting and asked God for miracles, signs, and wonders, and they lived 100 years and died and had no clue that God was going to come part the Red Sea three generations down from them. That's a difficult place to live. I don't know where we're at in the timeline. I'm not trying to predict we're the ones crossing the Red Sea, or we're the ones crossing into Jericho, or we're not the ones in the middle here where maybe I die and nothing changes, but this next generation sees wonderful things. I don't care. Right? I'm going to believe for the top, and wherever I'm at in the timeline is up to the Lord. Amen? So, what's that mean for us? Well, that means we just can't sit back on our hands. So 2025 is a place where, first of all, none of this really matters until we start to figure out that plainly in the Scripture, we got to get from a costume, kind of this abstract thought down into us. Well, the only way I know to do that is how I was taught. That's just a lot of time and effort eating the Scripture and praying and working together and doing some fasting and doing some prayer and being intentional about coming alongside each other and helping each other. I wrote down four things that we need to do, and then I'm going to have you stand and pray. First of all, everyone in here needs to locate themselves on this. Not the church locate. I'm talking about locate yourself where you're at tonight, tomorrow morning. Where are you at? You closer to the slave? You closer to the joint heir? You closer to the child? Don't give me your church stuff. I want you to actually think about, where are you? Second thing, find somebody to tell that to. Somebody's trusted. I'm not saying you need to blab it up here. Find somebody that you can be accountable to and say, hey, I don't think I'm over here. It's really nice to think that I'm sitting and seated in heavenly places, but that is nowhere near how I feel on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. Okay, well, the first thing we need to do is really just get honest with each other and transparent, because that's the community aspect, right? I'm not talking about up here out in public. I'm saying pick that trusted source, so forth and so on. So secondly, find a tutor and governor. Once you actually work that out, find your spot. Here I am, or here I am. I don't know. It doesn't matter, and it's probability anyways. It doesn't really. Maybe one day you're here and one day you're here. Fine. So cut it in the middle, whatever. Tell somebody, find a tutor and governor. Because it's probably none of us are sitting in this spot. We all need each other. We're all going to need some help and some guidance and some structure within the body of Christ. And again, even in saying that, I am hearing David say, in a good way, as brother in the Lord, hey, when we do that, when we come together, we have to give place and honor to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because nothing will grow even when we get together and do that if he's not involved in that. And lastly, start moving. One step at a time is fine, even two steps backwards. Start heading here in your identity. As Linda moved from Linda Roos to Linda Pranger, as you just followed her, sequenced her time today, if you said, hey, Linda Roos, she'd be like, yeah, I don't even know what that means. I'm Linda Pranger. And it's not I'm Linda Pranger from Joe and Ann Pranger. I'm Linda Pranger because that's my husband, Nick. Right? And we are one, and you won't ever be able to separate us. Amen? Stand up. I'm sorry for going over, but I'm really not sorry. I feel like the work of the Holy Spirit and what needs to happen and what is lays in front of us for this particular year and what is what overflowing out of me lays. Please do. Okay.
So, a lady named Lois LeBar, she wrote a book a long time ago called Education That Is Christian. Okay? She also held the LeBar chair. Can I have your
marker?
Marker, yeah. So, she would draw this picture of, and this is always in my head, but this is a kid, person, anyway. Here's their heart right here. And what we want to do is we want to get this into the heart.
Yes.
Is what we're talking about.
Here.
In the knowledge comes in the head, but her, she always said the problem is there's this fence.
Yeah.
There seems to be this fence between the head and the heart. Mm. And I think what you're calling mm-hmm. us to do here, what she always said, is you can't get from the head to the heart. So you got to go through the feet.
Hmm. Hmm.
So.
That's really cool.
That's
wow.
what we have to do. And that's what you're asking us to do.
Yeah.
And that's
walking
gotta,
with each
you
other.
You got to walk it out. You got to take the step. Mm. You're not going to get it from your head to your heart until you take the step.
Amen.
And walk
experience.
It out.
Experience.
You have to experience it.
I can tell you about movies, but you have to go watch them.
Exactly.
No, that's really good. Yeah. Like that, my brain just went all kinds of places and all kinds of scriptures where it's like, I'm not supposed to tell him what to do. I'm supposed to say, come with me. We're going to go pick up rocks.
Go do this.
Right? We're going to go do this, mm-hmm. and you're going to come along, which Matt's awesome at that. Matt's like, hey, if you call Matt and want to talk, you're going to probably end up working on something. Like the gift to go do something is fabulous, right? Like it's a, let's put feet to the fire and go build a porch, go do something. But yet there also needs to be the tutoring, and there needs to be the Word of God and the Spirit of God and prayer. It's, that's pretty awesome. That's a good one. Good job, Steph. Anybody else? Yeah, that's awesome. Father, I thank you that you have given us manna. Manna from heaven. Now, Lord, I know in the context of manna from heaven, I'm going to have to go get some tomorrow because what we got today isn't going to last for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You require us to walk this out. You require us to keep it fresh. You require us to be intentional and get up and go get this manna. But, Lord, as we try to solve this identity thing, as we try to figure out the mess that we're in versus the seated in heavenly places that you're in, God, we need revelation, and thank you that it's coming up from our feet. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.